Scripture comes from Hebrews 13th chapter, 7th verse and 17th. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you.
Oh, the last several weeks, we've been house hunting, as it were, and we've been visiting some houses. Now, these are homes. These are not just houses, of course. But if you have your little green bookmark there, there are some, I think, on the table in the back. But you'll find listed there the Ten Commandments of the home. And we've looked at a loving house. We ought to be a loving house if we are going to make that a Christian home, our home, a Christian home. We ought to make it an open house, a hospitable house, if you will. We ought to make it a kind house and an honorable house and a contented house. But this morning I want us to look at how to be an orderly house. Order in the court is no more necessary than in the home. Now, I'm not talking about a place for everything and everything in its place. I've been to some homes that are just perfect. They could be on the front cover of Better Homes and Gardens. But they may not be orderly houses in the spiritual sense. So that's what I want us to consider this morning. How to be an orderly house. To make a house a home, order is indispensable. Three attitudes of an orderly house. I want us to look at how to make that house an orderly house. That house, that home. Now, you may not live in a house. You may live in an apartment, or you may live in a trailer, but it can still be a Christian home. You may even live in a tent, but it can still be a Christian home, because that place where you live is your home. So I want us to look at an orderly house. Three attitudes, if you will, of an orderly house. Respect. The first attitude is respect. I think it was Rodney Dangerfield who made famous that statement, "I get no respect," or "I have no respect." And now it's the Affleck Duck. He seems to get no respect. He doesn't say it, but he means it. Well, maybe you feel like you don't have any respect, and so you're not going to respect others. No, I don't think you feel that way, or you know that that's not right. But respect is missing in many homes today. I want us to think about the memory of respect. Notice what it says here in the Scripture. Remember your leaders who spoke the Word of God to you. Now, memory is a big part of respect. I think the reason why, as a nation, we have lost some of this respectfulness is because we have lost our history. Now, Memorial Day is just one occasion that reminds us of the price that has been paid for our freedoms. But how many really stop to think and to memorialize those who have purchased our freedoms as Americans? Well, here it says in the Bible, to remember your leaders who spoke the Word of God to you. We ought to have a memory when it comes to respect. But secondly, notice the mimicry, if you will, in respect. It says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, that's mimicry. Imitate their faith. Now, think of the leaders. Now, you think, maybe that means you, Pastor. Well, I think it certainly means whoever is your pastor, but certainly all of the spiritual leaders. I had a father who was a pastor. He's with the Lord now. But he was a great example, not perfect, as none of us are as fathers. But I think of him often. When I get up to preach, there's seldom a time that I do not think of my dad and his preaching and how much I've learned from him. But mimicry. You know, when we were children, we wanted to be like our mom or dad, usually. Not always. Sometimes we wanted to be entirely different. But generally speaking, children like to be like their parents. Often little boys like to be like their fathers and little girls like their mothers. That's how God intended it to be. Well, that's mimicry. And we need to do as the Scripture says, to consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. You've heard it said that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Well, spiritual leaders are not looking for flattery, or they should not be. But certainly we ought to imitate our spiritual leaders. Billy Graham, we ought to imitate him and his love and reverence for the Word of God and his zeal for winning lost souls. And getting down to the leaders that we have in our local church. Now, again, we're all, as human beings, we're going to fail. I've been reading about the life of David recently, and I think, well, my, how could God love him? How could God love a man so full of faults? But then I think that's the marvel of the love of God, that he could love someone like David. It gives hope for someone like you and me, but mimicry. And then thirdly, it's ministry. Here it says, consider their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I've wondered about and kind of puzzled about that statement, why that's connected with the what went before. And I think it's pretty obvious when you think about it. This is what it's all about, isn't it? Like that song that we sang, "It's You. Jesus, it's You." It's not about you and me. And as soon as we understand that it's all about Jesus, Jesus and lifting Him up and bringing others to know Him as Savior, then we'll understand a lot about respect. But respect in the home, certainly it means that children are to obey their parents. And I think that means not only children in the home, but us as grown children need to respect our elder parents. And we need not only to show respect to them, but we need to care for them. And that's part of showing respect. Because if we don't show respect as Christians, we're not going to bring others to the feet of the old rugged cross and to that ultimate respect of Christ for dying for us on the cross. So respect. Respect in the house of God. Respect in our individual home. But secondly, I'd like for us to look at the attitude of obey. Again, it says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I know I read that a couple times already. But in verse 17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. So obey. Well, what does that mean? There's a perversion often of obedience. I think that the Bible does not intend, when it says here, obey your leaders, that when, for example, I come up to the platform, you go like this, oh, Holy Father. No, that, or that you don't question things that I say. Or whoever may be teaching, for example, in a Sunday school class. You may recall that there was a church very highly commended in the New Testament called, I don't know the name of the church, but it was in the city of Berea. And it says that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things that Paul said were so. Now you'd think, well, you know, this is the word of an apostle. I mean, he's greater than any pope or any preacher. Why, to question him, to question Paul, to read the word as if, well, I'm not sure Paul was right on that. I need to find out. But did Paul rebuke them? No. Rather, he commended them. And Dr. Luke said, these were no more noble than they in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily whether those things that Paul said were so. So it doesn't mean just blind obedience. That's the perversion of obedience. But secondly, it's preferable. Notice here it says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage for you. You see, there's an advantage in obedience. It's not just, well, it's for the other person. The Bible says I have to obey my parents, whether I like it or not, but I'm going to do it. And God's Word says this, and I'm just going to obey it, and it's because it pleases God. Well, it does please God. But here it says that there's an advantage in obedience. It blesses us. God created us with this need that we have for guidance. We're not complete in ourselves. We need each other, of course, but above all, we need the Lord. And that's why God has called us together into a body, that we might learn His truths, and that we might learn from one another. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. So obedience is preferable. But thirdly, it's a peril. The peril of disobedience, I think we should say, says that they must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now we can see the fruit of disobedience in the Bible from the very first chapter, or actually the second chapter, where Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sin entered into the human race. And sin ultimately, the Bible says, results in death. After death, of course, comes the judgment. And the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And it says that we must make our peace with God. We must prepare to meet our God. So there is a peril in disobedience. And there's a peril in disobedience for the Christian. Certainly we grieve those who must give account of our lives. Now, I don't agree with everything the president does or says, but I believe our duty as Christians is to support our president and pray for our leaders, not only in the church and in our denomination, but in our nation. Because there is a peril in disobedience. A nation could dissolve into anarchy and could soon be on the ash heap of history. And God wants us to avoid these temporal perils. And the perils in the church of disobedience. A church that is disobedient is a church that's divided. And God wants to warn us about that. There's a peril of disobedience in the home. We looked at that controversial article in the Baptist Faith and Message. Now, it may be controversial to some, but I think to those of us who believe the Bible, it's not controversial. It says that God created the husband to be the head of the family, and the wife should graciously submit to the leadership of her husband. But they are co-equal creatures of God. we're not less than the president because we are here and he's there in Washington. But we have a different position in God's economy and God's chain of authority. And God wants us to submit, to obey. First of all, to submit. Submit is a dirty word to a lot of people. Well, you know, I'm not going to submit to him. Or you have a, you know, sometimes the shoe gets on the other foot and you have a nagging wife, you know, and the husband just refuses to listen to his wife. Now, you know, I thank God for a nagging wife. I wouldn't be here today. I would be a splat out there on the ground somewhere. So God has put us together to learn from one another, to submit. Submit means that we, in lowliness of mind, we consider other better, the other better than ourselves. That's what the Scripture says. Boy, that's hard. That's one of those hard sayings in the Bible. Why? You know, they're not. There's no one better than me. Well, it doesn't mean that God created us one superior to the other. But we are to consider that other person better. We are to submit to their counsel. Now, I think each of us would do well to listen to the counsel of others before we make a decision. Because God has created that way to keep us from the pitfalls of life. It begins with the parents in the home. When the parents give advice, counsel to their children, it's not just advice sometimes, but it's, you know, you do this. It comes out of experience. And the Bible says that we are to submit. Secondly, there's a distinction of submission. I think I've talked about that when I suggested that submission is not making ourselves a doormat. You know, just laying down across the mud puddle and letting people walk across on our backs. Or if you feel discriminated against, just kind of, I know the Bible says, turn the other cheek. But I think it also means that we should instruct those who are ignorant. And we have a lot of ignorant people in our world, let's be honest. I appreciate you admitting that. I was going to say most of them sit right where we sit. But there's a distinction between this kind of submission, kind of a servile prostrating of ourselves, and this thought, you know, that the devil wants to put in our minds that we're nothing. I mean, that we're nobody. In a sense, that's true. We are made from the dirt, and I can't think of anything more lowly than that. And we're not God, but we are made in His image. And there is a glory in man that is God's glory. He has put that image in us. And so there should be a certain pride of we're the apex of God's creation. I know we talk about the lion as the king of the beasts. And we think, well, we're just one of the many creatures on this earth. Some say organisms that have evolved. And we've evolved a little higher than others. How do we know that? Well, it's purely arbitrary, in my opinion, if you believe in evolution. But if you believe the Bible, then you believe that God created you and you're in His image. And God did not create you to be junk. God created you with a nobility about you. You are a child of the King if you have come to Jesus Christ and placed your faith in Him. But thirdly, there's a decision involved. And that decision is, are we going to submit? Are we going to obey? Are we going to humbly accept what God has told us in His Word, that we are His creatures, that He is the Creator, and that He has created His creation with an order. And He wants us to submit to that order. At the same time, He has created us with a unique individual personality. And He wants each of us to study this book. Because it says that the Bereans, and that means, I think it means all of those in the Berean church, search the Scriptures, whether those things were so. We believe in the priesthood of all believers as Baptists, and I think most denominations do, that are evangelical. We believe that God created each of us to be priests, that we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to come to God today, if you haven't, through Jesus Christ, to place your faith in Him, to humbly submit yourself to Him.